Good morning. My name is Piper Toyama, and I'm currently serving as the president of the Honganji Buddhist Temples in Hawaii. I wish to thank Mu'ili'ili Honganji for allowing me to share my thoughts with you today. This morning I would like to talk about my father and the Buddhist wisdom he unknowingly shared with me in his letters. For you see, he was a Christian, and he never studied Buddhism. His name was Tom Takeji Toyama. He was Nisei, born to parents who immigrated from Okinawa. At one time, his family ran a public bathhouse in Wainaku Camp outside of Hilo on the Big Island. Later, his family grew sugarcane on leased land out in Umauma and Honohina. He was a proud graduate of Hilo High School. My father died on June 20, 1969. In an industrial accident in the sugarcane fields he loved so much. He was 49 years old when he died, and I was 22. At the time of his death, he was head of Hamakua Mill Company's sugarcane harvesting operations. My father wrote to me regularly during the 4 years I studied at the University of Massachusetts from 1965 to 1969, and I kept his letters. This morning I would like to share his words and his life, and through them consider the thoughts and values he left me. I would like to share 7 bits of Buddhist wisdom that came to my mind as I read his letters. The first bit of wisdom had to do with his early life. My father shared very little of his childhood and young adulthood growing up as an Okinawan. But in the fall of 1967 he wrote, "I was teased and looked down upon because of my ancestry and the poor standard of living my parents brought from the old country. My father decided that no matter what, he would educate his children to make us equal. I had an uphill fight all the way. There is still prejudice in Hawaii, as you know, but I think we came a long way." End of quote. He never complained about his poverty and the prejudice he suffered. He never complained about the injustice of being paid less than his haole colleagues on the plantation, even when he became head of harvesting. He seemed to embody the concept of sono mama. All of life unfolds naturally. Everything is meant to be just as it is. He accepted life as it presented itself to him without complaint. He never protested. But he also understood that he was responsible for being part of the causes and conditions that would create a new reality. In that same fall letter he wrote, "My philosophy and goals in life is to make our country a little better than when I found it. Yes, there is plenty wrong with our country. I don't doubt that. But we have to have concrete suggestions and actions to change it." End of quote. So for him it was sono mama, but also be part of change for the better. In many passages in his letters, I was reminded of the second bit of wisdom, and this is ichigo ichie, the appreciation of the preciousness of life in every moment. My father had a fine awareness of the details of life as it unfolded. In a spring 1966 letter he wrote, "It is getting dry on the plantation. The shade tree next to your bedroom shed all its old leaves and the flowers are blooming nicely. We dug out the ginger in the backyard and planted that cactus-looking plant we have in the front of the house. It sure looks good." End of quote. His letters constantly spoke of the rhythm of the seasons and the changing weather. He wrote of his connection to these repetitive movements in nature as if they were happening for the first time, and of his appreciation that he was a witness to each change. Ichigo Ichie was truly a part of how he responded to the world. The concept of compassion is the third bit of wisdom that appears in his letters. In Jodo Shinshu, compassion is the ability to make the suffering of others your suffering, and the happiness of others your happiness. There's a passage in my father's letters that reflect what compassion looked like in his life. In the fall of 1967, he wrote, "I try to do an outstanding job every day so that in the future, others like me may be considered for top jobs on our plantation." End of quote. In those words, I understood his compassion for those following him as motivation to prevent their suffering. He was working to ensure that his suffering would not be shared by others. The fourth bit of wisdom is the importance of interdependence. My father stressed that no action of mine is ever truly independent. He reminded me constantly of my interdependence with others. In an autumn 1967 letter, he reminded me of my relationship to the people of Hawaii. He wrote, "You are from Hawaii, and you represent the people of Hawaii in your actions and choices. Remember, no matter where you are or whatever you do, act like a true ambassador for the state of Hawaii." End of quote. Gratitude is the fifth bit of wisdom. My father stressed gratitude as an important part of the kind of person he wanted me to be. In early fall 1967 letter, he wrote, "One of the basic ingredients of developing good character is a feeling of gratitude. Don't forget to acknowledge by notes and letters those fine people of Massachusetts who have made your stay there a happy one. They deserve the courtesy of your acknowledgement." End of quote. The sixth bit of wisdom is Ondobo Ondogyo, a phrase from the writings of Shinran. Ondobo Ondogyo means we are all fellow travelers who share the same destination, burdens, and joys. We look out for each other. We extend ourselves for each other. In his last letter to me, dated May 10, 1969, he told of how he traveled with others and with a little boy to make the community of Pauwilo a loving and caring place. He wrote, "I will be chief umpire at all of the Little League games, and I enjoy it very much. Our new neighbors are the Roswells, and they have a boy named Adrian. He is my buddy and my shadow. He goes with me to all the Little League games, and he even helps me with my yard work." End of quote. My father cared for that boy as a son. I would like to end with the seventh bit of wisdom, the truth of the impermanence of life, through Renyu's letter on white ashes. In the last paragraph of his letter, Renyu wrote, "By so understanding the meaning of death, we shall come to fully appreciate the meaning of this life, which is unrepeatable, and thus to be treasured above all else." My father understood death, especially his death. By the time he was only 45 years of age and I was in high school, he had described how he wanted the family to approach his death. In the fullness and strength of his life, he explained to my brothers and to me what was to be read at his funeral services and who was to read them. He described the stalks of sugarcane he wanted on the altar in the church. He told us exactly where he wanted to be buried and why. He even told me that he would die with his boots on, doing what he loved most, working in the sugarcane fields. My father clearly understood the inevitability of his death, and because of that, he could live fully, happily, and fulfilled. His letters were tributes to the truth of his happiness and how much he appreciated his life. Though he accepted the certainty of his death, he also embraced the potential the future held for him and for my mother. After my father's death, my mother told me that he was eagerly looking forward to the future. Once my brothers and I were out of college, he planned to retire from his job on the plantation and enroll at UH Hilo and study to become a teacher, the profession he always wanted for himself. a profession he would have been very good at. And even though this future was not to be, it still was very much a part of the life he lived, and still part of the meaning of his life. His short but vigorous and spirited life truly reflected the truth of Sonomama. Life unfolds naturally, just as it is meant to be. He truly lived a life of Namo Amida Butsu, filled with deep moments of joy and gratitude. How fortunate I was to share those moments with him. Thank you for joining me in my reflection on the life of my father. Namo Amida Butsu.